Whether you see yourself as a high achiever or not, or whatever personal goals you set for yourself, at some point in time, we've all learned that proficiency in whatever you do requires that one practices certain basic skills. Today's gospel, in which John describes the appearance of the risen Christ to his disciples, reveals three basic skills or spiritual practices to follow in order to strengthen our soul, our well-being, and our connection with God and with each other. First, we're shown the value of practicing silence. St. John's account of Pentecost begins on the evening of the first day of the week, Sunday, the same Sunday that Mary Magdala, early in the morning, finds the tomb of Jesus empty. Imagine sitting with the disciples in that upper room. During the past 3 days, they have seen their Lord tortured, crucified, buried, and his tomb emptied. They are frightened, worried, tired, overwhelmed, lost, and angry, common emotions that we face each day. We find the disciples sequestered in this upper room, away from the daily commotion of the street, the buying and the selling, the bantering and the bartering. I have to think that they're spending their time quietly reviewing all the events of the past days and praying for comfort and for the knowledge of what to do and where to go. I want to believe that they can hear God in that silence. How about our lives? It's really incredible to walk through town and see how many people are connected to their phones or other electronic devices. They're plugged into something other than what is around them. The chatter and the din of our lives are increasingly deafening, especially when we remain plugged into unending distraction. So how, with this constant barrage of noise, does God have a half a chance of getting through to us? The only solution is to practice silence. Overall, I don't think we're very good at it. I know I'm not. Most of us really make little time for it. And for some, it can even be very uncomfortable. But without silence, how can we hear what we are called to do? A friend, Father Richard Rohr, writes, "We need to waste time with the Lord. This is the foundation of our prayer lives. You're not being unproductive when you wait in silence for God, when you listen for and seek the Holy One. This is why our tradition gives us the Sabbath. 1/7 of our life needs to be empty and available for God." So what would happen if we simply shut down all our electronic distractions one day per week? Or how about 10 hours a day? How about 10 minutes a day? 10 minutes to create quiet space, create emptiness, create the vacuum in order to be open to the presence of God, and then allow God to fill that space and to speak to us. You may be surprised at what God has to say. Then, on that first day of the week, Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Christ asked his disciples to do more than gather and pray in the upper room. His message was clear. They were to be sent forth. They, and we, are called to be a people of action. The second practice. Pentecost calls us forth as a people of God. We are called ecclesia, which is the Greek word meaning to call out. And St. Paul, in our second reading, makes it very clear that there are no exceptions as to who is called forth when he writes, "We are all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free persons." Translated for today, this means rich or poor, black or white, Catholic or Protestant, married or divorced, straight or gay, lay or cleric, and so forth. For we are all called out of our personal worlds, all called out of our comfort zones, all called out of our upper rooms, all called to be sent forth to use the individual gifts God has given to each of us. I had lunch with a good friend this past week, whose basement was wiped out by Sandy. A lifetime of records and belongings were destroyed. Then one Monday morning, as he was wondering how he would even begin to clean up the mess, a father and two sons showed up at his door. They told my friend that they were at their Sunday services the day before, and they decided they should go out and help others rather than just keep talking about it. So after a 2-hour drive, there they were. And for 8 hours, they carried wet and moldy material out of the basement. And as the sun set, they gave a hug and they left. This is what Pentecost reminds us, that we are all called to be a people of action for others, a practice that takes practice. And so it is that these practices of contemplation and action lead us to the third practice, which to me is the glue that binds the three together. And so it was on that first day of the week when Jesus said, "Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Coming out of the Council of Trent in the mid-15th century, this passage formed the foundation for the Sacrament of Reconciliation. But the message is much broader. For the risen Christ reminds us that we are all called to forgive, and called to forgive all. We're called to forgive our spouses and our children, our parents, our co-workers, our priests, our deacons, our church, our government, and even those that violate us and our society. But probably the most important and most difficult person to forgive is ourselves. Without fail, no matter what we have done, God loves us and forgives us with unconditional love. But yet we hold on to our own egos, our own anger, unable to let go of our own wounds and refusing to forgive ourselves. And yet Christ tells us through today's gospel that those trespasses, those debts we're willing to let go of, that we forgive in ourselves and others, are forgiven. They are released from being a part of us, while those that we hold on to and bind within ourselves will erode our well-being, thereby blocking relationships with others and with God. So as we gather on this first day of the week, we are called through the Gospels to practice three spiritual skills. We are called to create time for contemplative silence and to create empty space for God to fill. We are called to action, to share our unique gifts with others. And we are called to be a forgiving people to others and to ourselves. And we may ask, how am I supposed to do all this? And the Gospel reading provides the answer. When our risen Lord breathed onto his disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And so it is. On this day, each and every one of us, without exception, bears his constant grace, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, sent by God to be with us at our side. It is a presence of God that is real and within all of us, the spiritual glue that binds us together with Christ. It is a presence that is everlasting, that knows no exceptions, is not earned, but freely given to each of us. And it is a presence that speaks to us in silence, calls us forth from our personal upper rooms, and equips us for forgiveness. Indeed, this is what Pentecost is all about. This is why we celebrate the birth of the church, not as some abstract building, but rather as a people, as a community gathered together. And this is why we end our Easter season today with a great amen and alleluia. So as we go forward from our own individual upper rooms and continue on our personal journeys, may we remember that we are truly blessed with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which bring to us the silence to hear God's breath, the courage to respond to the call for others, and the graces to be forgiving people this day, always, and forever.